We're in the last week of January, and this is The Beacon. Here.
Lainey Kleeman here.
And I promise not to eat this week.
Oh, but it was so enjoyable to listen to you through the mics.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. We were talking earlier on when you were giving us some health tips about people with the New Year's resolutions and dieting and everything else.
By the way, this is usually the time they start to fall off the wagon.
Thank you. I was just going to say that. I belong to a health club, right?
Yep.
Everybody's gung-ho the first week, you know.
Yeah.
They were doing real good, and you had 30 members in the crowd. Then the next week, it was down to, like, 20.
Yep.
Then after that, it was down to, like, 9. And now there's, like, 4 left.
Yep, the whole I know. Thing, I think so. I think the statistics say by, like, the first week of February, it's all back to normal.
Everybody's back to doing what they normally do, and that's nothing.
That's nothing.
You know, just walking. I guess if you climb the stairs to the L, that's something.
That's something, right?
You know, that's some exercise. Jerry Civic's joining us.
He is.
My buddy, my pal.
Your guy from Social Security.
That's
lots
right.
Of tips from good old Jerry.
He is going to not only talk to us about that, but we're going to talk about advertisements, attorney advertisements on television.
Oh, gosh, really? That'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that and how there has become such an enormous amount of advertising by lawyers.
Yeah, we've really been infiltrated.
You know what bothers me more so than the lawyers?
What?
The drug companies.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever listen to the side effects?
Yes! They're like 20 minutes long.
I would be scared to death.
I know. And I have to tell you, watching those commercials, and I'll paint a picture for you.
Yep.
You have men who look to be in their late 50s. And granted, the Stone Cold Fox, I'm all a Silver Fox. Totally support that.
Right.
But they're giving, like, sidelong, like, longing glances to their partners. Because a lot of them are like, you know, ED pills. I won't say it, you know, the full thing. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like,
to enhance the love life. Exactly.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to see a 60-year-old man giving, I don't want to see a 20-year-old guy. I don't want to see that look of, like, you know, let's go get it on, baby. I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see, like, the intimate hand-holding that, like, leads her to the bedroom. I don't want to see it.
The moment is right. I love that one commercial that says, you don't want to stop when the moment is right.
Yeah. So take their pill 4 hours, like 4 hours ahead of time.
4 hours ahead of time, right. And I hope everything works out well.
I hope it works
out.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Have fun.
And then there's the other ones. They have, like, you know, and I pay attention because I had the problem with the liver a few years ago. And I pay attention to those pills that talk about, you know, about take this here, but if you have had liver problems, don't take it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm eliminated from, like, 99% of whatever
is
out there.
Which is probably good, ultimately.
Because,
you know what, if I get back on my high horse for a minute, a lot of those medications, like for high blood pressure, cholesterol, a lot of things in between. Treated, not everything, but a lot of things can be treated by proper nutrition.
That's right.
You don't need all that stuff.
I've learned that through my dearest and my lovely companion and the fiance in that, because she is a big believer in the natural way of doing it.
Good for her.
You know.
Good. I approve.
So we're going to talk about advertising. Then we're going to talk about, obviously, the delay in getting Social Security benefits if you are, you know, if you're originally applying and then they turn you down,
right?
Then you got to go through a whole process. I think, Jerry, it was unusual. It was like 81 weeks.
What?
To try and get it done in the Chicago area alone.
I mean, that's just horrifying.
It's just unbelievable.
There's no excuse for that.
None whatsoever.
So.
And then what are we doing?
And then you'll be visiting with me. And I will be here to make you feel guilty about yourself again.
Yes,
I hope I don't.
No,
I hope I'm encouraging.
No, actually, spinach was good last week.
Okay, good.
So that was a good thing.
Good.
So we'll get going with Jerry Civic coming up right after this. I'm Bill Churek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
If you enjoy listening to The Beacon, why not become part of the family? You can tell our audience about your product or service at a reasonable cost. We will even help you produce your message in a way that will capture our listeners' ear for you. By advertising on The Beacon, you will not only reach thousands of people who need and want your product or service, don't have an agency, or wouldn't know the first thing about producing a radio commercial, let The Beacon staff help you write and produce your message. Now that the economy is picking up and people are spending more on things they need, this is the perfect opportunity for you to get the word out. For more information and a free consultation, just call Bill Jurek at 312-997-3678 or email Bill at bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org. Come on, join the Beacon family and increase your sales by reaching an audience that really wants to hear your message. Call today at 312-997-3678. Again, that's 312-997-3678 or bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org.
Well, here we are after the new year. We're into 2016. And I just wonder how many people who have applied for Social Security benefits, disability benefits, are still waiting, even though they applied last year. Jerry Zivick is joining us. He's our resident expert on Social Security law and brings us some frightening statistics, but some good ones, too, once in a while. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing good, Bill. How was your holiday?
My holidays were absolutely terrific. You got a whole new career going. We should tell the people that you are a television star down there now in Florida.
I'm a burgeoning one, not to be braggart, but it's a lot of fun being able to give back to the community.
Yeah, that's true. It really is. Plus, you find out how you really don't have to work a lot for money, you know?
apparently not. I'm not getting any money, so.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's cool. Hey, listen, speaking of television and the fact that you, have been doing a lot of work with ABC News down there in the Tampa and the Sarasota area, it seems like there's been a tremendous increase. We talked about this once before on the program, but it seems like there's been a tremendous increase in the amount of commercials on television for lawyers or law firms that are wanting to represent people for Social Security disability.
Okay. I don't know if there's been an increase, but before we get started, I did just realize you labeled me as an expert, right. And in Illinois, an attorney cannot be an expert. I can only concentrate in areas of Social Security. So
okay.
I want to keep myself out of trouble.
I got you. I understand. Okay, sounds good.
You know something? There are I don't know if there's an increase, but there are a tremendous number of commercials for lawyers, not just in the Social Security area, in every area.
Right.
And it seems actually like this has impacted all professions. You see it with doctors, too, that people are just advertising. Yeah. For inventory, I guess, or
more,
business.
More and more, and the drug companies, well, they're the biggest criminals of all when it comes to spending tons and tons and tons of money. And if you ever listen to some of those disclaimers on those drug ads, you're almost afraid to take the drug, for crying out loud, because of the side effects and everything else that go along with it. But tell me, what about, is it really, when you let's say you sign up with a law firm, and you're going there to get help in securing your Social Security disability benefits. Is it always a lawyer that you're dealing with, or?
Well, actually, that's one of the problems with the whole area of Social Security. I could market myself as a Bill Jurek Social Security advocate, and people have the feeling that you're a lawyer, but you're not. But it, anybody can almost represent anyone for a Social Security disability claim. So if you had somebody that walked through a Social Security office and somebody could say, well, I was involved in 25,000 claims with Social Security because they walked through it. A lawyer has many more restrictions on how they can market themselves.
Right.
So you have to be careful in the Social Security area. But they have advocates or representatives versus attorneys.
What should you look for when you go in and you're looking for representation?
Number one, there may or may not be good representatives, but a representative can take you to the federal court. If you get denied at your administrative law judge hearing, the next step is the appeals council. You don't have to be an attorney to do that, but if you get denied at the level after that, to go to the federal court, you must be an attorney.
Right.
So I'm a strong believer that you need to get an attorney.
Okay.
What you should look for an attorney? A handsome guy or a pretty girl? No.
Jeez.
I think you need obviously to look for somebody you're comfortable with.
Right.
I think you know, a lot of times if you're not comfortable with your lawyer, it's a problem. You need to find an attorney that has ample staff. It's very difficult for a busy practitioner to take a phone call from a client
that says,
did you get my medical records from Dr. Jones? You know, that's something a staff person should be able to handle. So I think you need to have an attorney that has enough staff to handle questions.
Sure.
And you need to have an attorney that has staff that can not only handle questions, basic questions, but can handle a bit more questions,
mm-hmm.
that can gain the trust of the client, where the client feels, wow, you know, Susie or Billy, they really understand and know my case, and,
sure.
and they're working it up really well. Because if you have a successful attorney, a lot of the work of prep work is being done by staff. It's not being mm-hmm. done by him.
Right.
But you also need an attorney that's available to you. If the staff cannot answer the question, you need to them to say, okay, Mr. or Ms. So-and-so will get back to you like in a day or two.
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's critical. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard from clients, well, not my clients, other attorneys' clients, Mrs. or Ms. or Mr. So-and-so never called me back.
Wow.
And it happens a lot. And, you know, actually when I was practicing, we had a rule. Everybody had a return phone call that day if the call was before 3 o'clock. We might not have answered their question, but we acknowledged we got their call and we're working on X, Y, or Z, and we gave them a time frame to know when they would get a response.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. That's only not only good in the law profession, but I was told that by a businessman many years ago when I was doing commercials, when I was doing voiceover on commercials. There was a car dealer that I was doing commercials for, and the gentleman said, you know, we're talking about getting back, you know, if a customer has a complaint or about the service department or about the sales or whatever, and he said, I make it a point that if I am in my office and my phone rings, I answer it myself, to show that person that I definitely have a genuine interest in the fact that they took time to make a major investment with me and my company, so that they're not being left out. That, you know, that we just wanted you to make the sale and get out and goodbye, that sort of thing.
Actually, it's the golden rule.
Right.
Just treat people the way you would want to be treated.
That's true. That's very true. You gave us some interesting statistic before we started the segment here about resolution time in the Chicago area.
Sure. There's a multi-layered process in filing for Social Security disability. If you're denied, there are two levels of appeal after that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're denied initially, you can go to reconsideration, which almost routinely is a rubber stamp denial, and after that you go to a hearing before an administrative law judge. Are you sitting down, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's 163 hearing offices in the United States. Chicago ranks 136th out of 163
wow.
in processing claims.
Wow.
But it gets better. So basically, it takes over 81 weeks to get your claim processed in the Chicago area.
Oh, whether it's denied or granted.
No, no.
Right?
If it's denied,
okay.
to go through the appeals council. And so here's some staggering numbers nationwide. So roughly in all the various disability programs for Social Security, there are 3 million applicants every year.
Okay.
Of those 3 million applicants, 1 million or one-third of those applicants are approved initially, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves 2 million applicants out there, which is a staggering number.
It is.
But, so let's take roughly that half of those 2 million won't get paid and half will get paid. So you have 1 million people that are entitled to benefits that are waiting in the Chicago area 81 weeks. But take that even further. It's not just that 1 million people that are being impacted. What if they have a wife? What if they have a wife and a son? What if they have, you know, what if they have no place to live and you have to move in with a brother or another family member? So this geometrically touches somewhere probably between 2 and 4 million people when you're denied. It's a staggering number of people that are impacted. Can you imagine all of a sudden, you know, you have some relative and they knock on your door and say, I have no food. I have no medical care. Can I come live with you?
Yeah.
I don't care what your budget is. To have to support somebody is a problem.
Yeah. No. That you're absolutely right, and that is absolutely incredible. The process that you talked about, the 81 weeks in that clock starts running after you've been denied. Correct.
That starts running the day you apply.
Oh, the day you apply. Okay. All right. Now, let's say you get denied the first time around. What are, or am I asking a question that's kind of a rhetorical question? What are things that would not let somebody be granted Social Security? I mean, somebody blind, they 9 times out of 10 would be granted, right?
It depends. It depends on what your blindness is. I mean, you can have all kinds of problems with fields of vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had cases before administrative law judges where they thought you weren't blind enough. So, you know, and then you can actually have a situation where you just speak out of turn and somebody misinterprets it. I mean, because you said, we were talking not to talk out of school, you said you're going to see your grandson for the first time tomorrow.
Right.
And it's a word you use, but you're not going to see much of him in reality.
Exactly,
But somebody's going to, you know, they'll talk to somebody at Social Security, and he said, well, he saw so-and-so the other day. Just taking something completely out of context.
Now, these judges, the people that you go to if you get denied, what kind of training, what kind of background do they have to have?
Wow. To me, the bar has gotten lower and lower over the last 30 years.
Really?
And it has to do with the hiring process. And the hiring process is skewed toward people that are computer literate, mm-hmm. And have time on their hands. There was an occasion where they advertised for judges.
Okay.
And there was no forewarning. So they took the first 2,000 applicants for 200 spots, and it was going to be open for 30 days. Well, it was closed within 24 hours. They got their applicants.
Wow.
So let's say you have an attorney that's like 60 years old and just wants to slow down and wants to apply for a judgeship.
Sure.
If that attorney is a successful attorney, they have professional responsibilities every day.
Right.
Can they stop everything to fill out this computer application?
Mm-hmm.
No. So it may take them a couple of days to earmark the couple hours it takes to finish this application, and by the time they have the time, the application process is closed. So you have people that are getting these jobs that have a lot of time on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all know I'm not really very smart. So,
but
so the point is, if you have an attorney that has a lot of time on their hands, Why is that? Do the math. They're not successful. They're not busy. Why is that?
Sure, sure.
So are you actually getting the best and the brightest?
Probably not. Yeah.
A lot. And what's happening now a lot is you're getting a lot of people that are becoming judges that are inbred in the agency. They've never worked in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like it or not, and this is my opinion, there's a bias to try and say no to claims, and they don't have the independence necessary to tell the agency when they're wrong.
Sure. Mike, you answered, I think, my question. So, in other words, you don't have to work for Social Security to become a judge.
No, you don't.
See, I thought you had to go up through the ranks and work your way to a level where you would qualify.
You can make an argument that it's good to have some people that have worked for the agency, but you also have a certain number. You need to have people that have been in the public that understand what a client's problems really are, and understand the problems in actually getting medical records. I mean, when I was practicing getting medical records from Cook County Hospital, I used to predict we'll fly to Mars first before we get these records. and so unless you're out there in the real world, you don't understand what's going on.
Sure.
So you need to be able to interact with, at least you need to be able to interact with some judges during lunch or over coffee that can explain to the agency people what the real world is like.
Right. Yeah, I see your point. That's very, very important. Very important. Well, like you talked about it being an inbred thing before, about people coming up through the agency and that. And you're right. That's not actually a good idea. No matter how well they know the law, it's not really a good idea because they haven't been exposed to the real world. So
yeah, and this type of law, a lot of it has to do with the credibility of the client,
mm-hmm.
or the claimant. And unless you're out there and have experienced all kinds of different people and been exposed to all kinds of different clients, how do you have a process, a refining process to determine who's being truthful and who's not being truthful?
Sure.
If you're just working for the agency, you have almost no interaction with clients. So you've never developed that radar or an ability to process truthfulness from non-truthfulness.
Sure. Let me ask you a question about somebody who's, let's say, been on disability for most of their life. I happen to have a relative who she has had tremendous arthritis problems, tremendous, where she couldn't work and she's been on disability. She qualified when she was 65. When does it go to regular Social Security and off of disability? Is it that 3-month window that everybody has to wait, or does it go on her birthday?
There's always when they pay a disability claim, there's always a waiting period.
Okay.
In roughly 3 months, the 3-month waiting period, but it's really longer than that. I think it's a 5-month waiting period.
Okay,
having a semi-senior moment of which they won't pay, but you're on your disability benefit until you reach retirement age.
Okay,
which is no longer 65; it's a moving target.
Right, exactly.
So when you reach retirement age, then you convert to your retirement benefit. It's the same amount of money, though. There's no difference in the money.
Does it automatically convert to itself?
Yes.
Or do you have? Okay, so it automatically does that. Okay, because I know she has qualified. I'm not going to give away her age, but I know she qualified for regular Social Security a couple of years ago, and she, like I said, spent many years on Social Security disability just because the fact she couldn't do the work that she was originally, hired by a company to do. So, and it was a proven fact that she had the rheumatoid arthritis and everything else that went along with it. So it's a very, very complicated. It's like anything else governmental. It seems like you're dealing with a lot of spaghetti and nowhere to go.
Well, pretty much it's a situation. I was on a panel the other week, and we were talking about what to do with these claims. And I basically said, tear up the whole system and start fresh.
Yeah.
And I said something that was really crazy that people looked at me cross-eyed. I said, let's not spend a lot of time on fraud, because number one, Social Security doesn't do a good job with it, despite what they're telling you. Now, number two, let's just accept a certain amount of theft. You know, you work retail, there's theft. You work in a restaurant, there's theft. So let's use our resources, which are limited, and focus on processing it and doing things more quickly.
Yeah, it makes sense, and it's the same thing that people say about the tax, the way income tax is set up too. Let's throw it all away and start all over again too, and see where we can go from there. So you find yourself tied up with a lot of bureaucracy once you start dealing with the federal government, and I don't think you're ever going to get away from that unless you do tear everything up and start from scratch again.
Yeah, I think it's time to look at things with fresh eyes. But I think what it's also you must realize, and people talk about these disabled people like they're gold bricks or are taking advantage of the system. This is something they've paid into. You pay your FICA, your benefit comes out of it. It comes out is funded from that FICA. This is something people have bought and paid for. Let's not treat people as thieves. See, people have earned this. Let's give people the respect and the courtesy they deserve.
Right. Well, we're going to obviously pursue this along. You could have an interesting guest for us, or someone who's had a difficult time going through the process, but that you've helped next time we get together?
I can do that for you.
I think that was an effective segment last time, and I'm looking forward to hearing another. You know, some other stories that people can relate to, and I think that's real important for us to do that. So.
I'm happy to do that. We'll talk about the logistics off the air.
You got it. And listen, again, have a happy new year with you and Judy, and stay and enjoy the Florida weather. I'll be heading back down there myself soon. So,
To you and Stacy as well. And a shout-out to Brian, the engineer, for all the good work he does.
Who, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, now you can give him a big head. He won't be able to fit through the door, so.
Yeah. Well, then he'll be at work on time. He won't be late to be stuck there.
There you go. Listen, have a great day, Jerry. Thanks so much.
All right.
It's Jerry Zivick. It came to us talking about Social Security disability, and we touched a little bit on when things convert back over to regular Social Security. Our program is The Beacon. We'll be back with more right after this.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office, or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
It's hard to believe. 1 month of the new year is gone already.
1 month of 2016 in the can.
You know, it used to be that people had trouble writing checks.
Right.
After
right.
the first of the year, they kept putting the year right. the year before down.
Yeah.
People don't write checks anymore.
They really don't.
It's all done electronically on the computer and that or however.
I know. Whenever I'm in a grocery store, and like on the rare occasion, I'll still see somebody write a check, and it's like, wow. I mean, that's just kicking it old school right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't even see how a check serves a purpose anymore. But you know what? There's a lot of people who like to do it the traditional way.
Or else they just don't know adapt.
Right. They're just all stubborn.
We will adapt because you're trying to educate us on how to eat properly.
I'm trying.
So in a moment, less than a moment, actually, we're going to join Lainey in her Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment on our Beacon program.
Thank you very much. Last week we started talking about the 10 foods that change your life, and we got through the first half of the list, so I'm going to finish the list today. All right?
I'm fine with me.
Okay, good. I'm glad you approve.
All right.
This next one, this breaks my heart because this is the one food on the planet that I absolutely steadfastly refuse to eat, and that is mushrooms.
Why?
Oh, I can't. I just can't. Since I was a child, I have put a mushroom in my mouth. It makes me it instantly triggers my gag reflex. And I don't know what it is. And I can taste them. You know, people say, oh, you have to try them this way, or you have to mince them. No. Nothing is going to help me get over my just utter hatred of mushrooms.
Mm.
Okay, so now that I've got that out there, let me tell you about some of the health benefits in case you are a mushroom lover.
And I love mushrooms.
I know, there's lots of mushroom lovers out there. So I'm gonna give you some support here, okay?
And I'm talking the vegetable now, not the other.
See, why would you say that? I wasn't even thinking that. Why would you have to get defensive about that?
We do have a large audience.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure most of them are thinking about psychedelics at this time of day. All right, so anyway, mushrooms have unique nutrients, including an amino acid called ergothionine, and that actually may slow the death of cells, so it keeps cells strong, and they are not found anywhere else in the plant kingdom. So mushrooms have a very unique component that specifically can slow down the death of cells.
See, so you should eat mushrooms.
I will not eat mushrooms. I will find my slow cell death elsewhere. Thank you very much.
You like I am with kale.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So number six is flaxseed. And I actually like flaxseed a lot. It doesn't taste like anything, so it's very, very easy to just sprinkle on anything. You can buy it in either a whole seed form or in a meal form. I prefer to buy it in a seed form and then ground it into a meal myself, which I just throw it in my Nutribullet and it grounds it into a powder, because it will spoil if you buy it in a powder form. So if you buy it in the seed form, it keeps for much longer.
You put it in your smoothies ever?
I do, all the time. That's actually primarily how I take it. Or I'll sprinkle it on my oatmeal in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's very versatile because it doesn't have any taste. I mean, you can put it in your baked goods. And actually, I've talked about this before, it's a good egg replacement if you don't eat eggs, which I don't. So I'll often mix a little flaxseed with some water, and it gets kind of an eggy consistency, gets a little gelatinous, and then you can bake with it. So it's a very versatile product.
Tastes like mushrooms.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it does not.
Okay.
They have more of a cancer-preventing compound called lignans than anything else on the planet.
Like what?
The word is lignans.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they have it's more of a cancer-preventing compound than anything on the planet. It's very, very beneficial, and it does say that they need to be ground before eating, otherwise they will not be digested. So grounding them before you eat them is important, or otherwise you won't get the benefit. But I would say don't buy them ground. Buy them whole and then ground them when you use them.
No kidding, so they don't get digested?
Yeah, because they're surrounded by a hole. H-U-L-L. So, okay. Yeah, so that protects it, and I guess the stomach acid just doesn't digest it. Yeah. The next thing that you want to kind of eat more of is nuts. Nuts are really super good for you. Not the salted, flavored, you know, drowned in goopy, sugary kind of nuts, which I know I love too. But
salted cashews?
I know. It's really delicious. I totally agree with you on this.
Chocolate-covered cashews?
Oh, man, don't even get me. When we went to Hawaii, we had the chocolate-covered macadamia nuts.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It's heaven on
earth.
Those
are so good,
It really was. Heaven on earth. But around the globe, not eating enough nuts is actually, that is thought to be a huge health detriment if you don't eat enough nuts if you don't get the nutrients from nuts. Yeah. So their walnuts are very high in antioxidants and omega-3 fatty acids that, again, can suppress cancer, and they're particularly healthy. And you can actually cut your risk of stroke in half by adding nuts to your diet.
How about pecans and things like that?
Any nuts.
Yeah,
as long as they're not, it's like salted and, you know,
processed.
Yeah. I mean, they're delicious, don't get me wrong, but they're talking specifically about nuts in their whole form.
Yeah.
So raw, essentially.
Right.
And, you know, we don't give nuts enough credit in our life, but they really are a huge benefit. Again, you sort of want to be careful about how much you eat because they are very calorically dense.
Yeah.
So, a small handful is plenty.
I have a couple of neighbors like this.
There you go. Yeah,
so
you
go
betcha. Yeah. Good for you.
Well, they won't talk to me forever. So go ahead.
They're probably not listening.
I know.
Yeah. Now, there's a new big fad right now, and I hesitate to call it a fad, but it's not tried and true, and I haven't tested it out yet, but it seems to be like this big push for this being a miracle spice. But that's turmeric. Have you heard about all the hype behind turmeric?
No.
I mean, it's supposed to be like this cure-all for every ailment on the planet. I mean, that's overstating it a little bit,
sure.
But it is supposed to have an incredible amount of health benefit. It contains a pigment called curcumin, and it may play a role in preventing cancer, lung disease, and brain disease, and it also helps provide a speedy recovery after surgery, and it treats rheumatoid arthritis. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it just says eat a quarter teaspoon a day, and if you eat a quarter teaspoon a day, you know, it's supposed to...
What does it taste like, though?
It's like a curry flavor.
So you can put it in food, though?
Yeah.
You can mix it into
your
food.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. You buy it in the spice section at the store.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that there's, and I don't know enough about it, again, that it's kind of a new thing that's being pushed out there right now. You know, turmeric, I believe you can buy it in, like, a plant form, and, like, kind of like ginger. You know, you can buy ground ginger, but you can also buy ginger in its whole form. I think turmeric is kind of the same thing. So I don't know if it's, like, you have to eat the plant or if the ground turmeric, if you just, you know, sprinkle that in something, if that works.
I bet you
I'll find out. I'll find out a little bit more because I'm curious about this.
It's your homework.
I will follow through on that. I'll turn my homework in next week.
All right.
And then we've got whole grains. People who eat more whole grains have been shown to live significantly longer. Eating them may reduce heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and stroke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's very easy when you're buying, instead of white rice, buy brown rice. Instead of white pasta, buy brown pasta. And make sure that the label says whole, 100% whole grain.
That's it. Remember the nutritionist I was on last week? That's exactly what she said.
Exactly. Because they can live, the FDA will approve labeling it whole grain if it's like just a small amount of whole grain, but then the rest is white processed whatever.
Yeah, I think we're going to have her coming up in a couple of weeks on the show.
Good.
Just do that interview again and have her come up on the show.
Perfect. So. Yeah, so just make sure that the labels that you read are 100% whole grains. Otherwise, you could be getting just a very tiny little percentage and that's not, you're not getting the benefit.
Right,
exactly. And then last, you know, tea actually it gets a lot of, you know, look at you. You're already, oh, careful there.
Pardon your ears
there, folks.
Yeah,
sorry. So Mike almost got a tea bath. Try green or white, and that potentially protects against several serious diseases, including cancer.
Right.
It also may lower blood pressure, cholesterol, and body fat. And, you know, it actually says here to not just drink it. You can eat the tea leaves either by drinking matcha or by opening the tea bag and throwing them into a smoothie, which I haven't heard before.
I didn't either.
That's really interesting. I'll have to give that a shot.
I drink a commercially produced tea, and I just find it more delightful than coffee. I was getting tired of coffee.
I agree. I go through phases for sure, where sometimes my body just doesn't, I just don't want coffee, but I still want like the ritual of having a warm cup of something.
It's something in the morning. Yeah,
exactly.
So.
And you know what, it's interesting because this article does say just make sure you're buying tea from Japan and not China because the China products could contain lead. So just make sure you're
don't buy anything from them when it comes to food wise. So.
I know.
So now all of this useful information will be available at the website, which is?
We're Chicago Beacon on either Facebook or Twitter.
And that'll do it for us.
You betcha.
Thank you for letting us turn up the beat.
Always my pleasure.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen, you can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse.
Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone. Again, this is Sandy from Sandy's View, and welcome to another edition. Today I'm speaking with Colleen Wunderlich, who's the director of the Forsyth Center for Employment and Entrepreneurship at the Hadley School for the Blind. Colleen will be talking to us about the Eyes on the Prize contest. We mentioned it about a month ago in our Tom's Corner segment. But Colleen will be telling us a little more about what the center, the Forsyth Center is and what it does. And thanks, Colleen, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful. Colleen, tell us a little bit about, I know that you're the director, first of all, of the Forsyth Center. Can you tell us a little bit about the center, what it does?
Sure. The Forsyth Center was established in 2011, and the founder was Rick and Sandy Forsyth, and mm-hmm. I believe they're also on the board of the Chicago Lighthouse.
Yes, yes.
Sandy is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very strong supporters of the Lighthouse.
The reason for starting the center was to give people who are blind an opportunity to develop a plan to become self-employed. Mm-hmm. As you know, after 2008, the employment statistics for our population worsened because there were so many people who were sighted on the market looking for a job that our chances even became slimmer for finding employment. So we started the center, and its goal, as I said, was to develop a curriculum that would help a person become self-employed. So we've done that by creating my first class, which is self-employment with minimal investment. Mm-hmm. It helps a person figure out if they're meant to be self-employed. Can they handle risk, ambiguity? Are they self-disciplined? Do they understand that they work for every dollar they make on their own? So that's followed by market research and marketing plan, financial plan, and business plan. So you can see that the courses, and they're one-lesson courses, are meant to guide a person through the process of developing a business idea and seeing if it is a viable, marketable business concept. And that's for the person to discover on their own. We don't tell them, yes, this is going to be a successful business, or no, we don't think you have any business being in business. We let the person figure that out themselves mm-hmm. through self-study.
Sure.
And our courses are online only, mm-hmm. and they're meant for that process, and we don't dictate the order that people take them in, but we do have a prescribed order, and some of them have prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then a person's free to take any courses they want. We've got marketing and accounting courses, courses on business insurance and business forms of ownership, and they're all one-lesson courses. So they're very practical, and they're meant to be taken as a person needs them.
No, and that's wonderful because, like you mentioned earlier, the statistic of unemployment for people who are blind or visually impaired is a staggeringly high, you know, number. It's around 70% to 80%.
Right.
And like you said, after 2008, with so many people looking for jobs, it became even more difficult in a way for blind people to search and find a job. So, I mean, these courses can help people maybe decide, oh, well, and my own business might work for me, or, you know, self-employment. This might help them go on that track.
It's a very low-risk way to mm-hmm. find out mm-hmm. if you're meant to be self-employed and if your business idea is viable at all.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and tell us a little about the contest you have going on at the moment, the Eyes on the Prize contest.
Right, so the contest is called the New Venture Competition,
mm-hmm.
and it's for Hadley students of the Forsyth Center.
Okay.
And I need to mention that our courses are free to people who are blind, mm-hmm. and so if you are not a Hadley student, you still have a little bit of time to call and get signed up mm-hmm. for our courses. You do need a doctor's notice indicating legal blindness to become a Hadley student, but we ask you to take just one FCE module, and you can complete a module in a matter of hours. and I'm happy to be here as a resource to help you figure out what module you would benefit from. And so the competition basically consists of you apply by submitting a business plan. It's a 10-page business plan. And if you visit our website, hadley.edu/NVC, again, that's hadley.edu/NVC, that's New Venture Competition,
mm-hmm.
that will tell you the rules for the competition, and it will show you everything that needs to be in that 10-page business plan. So we've really laid it out for you so you know what we're looking for.
Sure.
Now, if a person is not a Hadley student and they want to take classes from us, they need to contact Student Services.
Okay.
And that phone number is 800-526-9909. Again, 800-526-9909. And you can call and register for an SCE module, become a Hadley student, and you do have to have the module completed by the time you submit your application. And it's just under 3 weeks away. The deadline for the competition submission is February 15th. So hopefully, I know I've talked to some people in our community that have plans underway. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have been working on the plan and are putting the finishing touches on it as we speak, because I've heard of some pretty interesting ideas that people are planning to come forward with. So I'm excited to see what we get from our students.
Yeah, definitely. So for students that might be new or might not have taken any of the modules before, mm-hmm. they can take any module, correct? They, in other words, they don't have to take a specific order or any specific class to...
Well, we do have prerequisites for some of our modules.
Okay.
I don't want to go into that on the air
sure.
but that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
If you have specific questions about that, I encourage you to call me, 847-784-2889.
Mm-hmm.
You can email me at colleen@hadley.edu. That's Colleen with two L's and two E's. Mm-hmm. colleen@hadley.edu. And I would be happy to help you find the module that is appropriate for you. Because even though we have sort of a recommended order and we have prerequisites, depending on your background, you may not need those prerequisites.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And some people have their business concept pretty well fleshed out, but maybe they're struggling with the financial aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they have the financials and the accounting figured out, but they don't know how to market their idea. So we want to help you take a class that would help you in the moment,
mm-hmm.
that you would benefit most from at this time. And that's what I'm here to help with.
Oh, most definitely. Great. Well, there you have it, everyone. For more information, either on the Forsyth Center for Employment and Entrepreneurship, or for information on Hadley and other and many of the other courses it offers, you can visit www.hadley.edu. Colleen, thanks again for joining us today, and have a great day.
If you have lost the place where you're living and are staying in a motel, hotel, campground, your car, a shelter, or you're sharing a home with other people because you just can't afford to pay rent, let us help you get your kids in school and receive other educational benefits and free meals. Illinois is looking out for the welfare of families, children, and youth experiencing homelessness. Call 1-800-215-6379 and let us help you get your child in school. The number again is 1-800-215-6379.
These shows go by so fast.
They do.
And, you know, it's a lot of fun to do them, too. I have a lot of fun.
That's why we're still here.
We hope everybody enjoys them, you know. And
I hope
they,
so.
As much as we have enjoy putting them on for you.
Because we do, and we have fun here.
That's right. And these two guys coming up, they really have some very, very important information. Plus, they talk about the road shows that Tom and the crew are going to be going on now that spring is here again.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's right around the corner.
Before you know it.
That's true.
You know, I always love springtime because the birds start singing even when it's dark out.
I know. Yeah. They're as motivated as we are.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're crazy like we are.
That's
they get up
right.
early in the morning. So, speaking of crazy, Tom Prisky and Brian Hawkins are here in Tom's Corner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins with Tom Persky himself. How are you?
I'm doing great. Got back from Arizona, and it's snowed twice since I've been back. So,
so you're the reason.
That's right. Everyone's blaming me, which, you know, I deserve it, I guess. But I got an exciting product that I wanted to talk about today.
Oh, good.
Called the OrCam.
Okay.
And it's made in Israel, and many people have heard about it because it's been in the New York Times and many, many other places. There's actually two types of OrCams. One is called the OrCam Reader, mm-hmm. and the other is called the OrCam Eye. But I thought I would just briefly go over the OrCam Reader today and tell you what it does.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So it is a very small device that actually is attached by a little bracket to a normal pair of glasses. I would say it's about the size of a cigarette that would be kind of flat instead of round. So it's about that long.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on the inside of your temple piece of your glasses. So that part is very, very small. And obviously you can take it everywhere you go.
Right.
It does have a wire that goes from the back of your ear there down to a processor. They call it a computer quad core processor, which is a very powerful computer that's about the size of maybe half the size of a cigarette package.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's doing all the processing. It has no visual display, so people with low vision or totally blind could use this product because it's going to read out loud to you. And it's activated by either a few short buttons. For instance, there's a power button, and then on the same side an up and down button for mm-hmm. volume. And then the other side just has a one button to activate it. So a totally blind person might just hold up a paper or a book in front and just hit the button. It would take a picture of the whole page
right.
and read it out loud. So that's pretty cool. For those with low vision who maybe can see enough to see where an article begins in a newspaper
right.
or on a flyer, like I have in my hand.
There it goes.
It just went to sleep. it should be able to point to the area of the page that you'd like to start at.
Waking up. Battery is 60% charged.
So as you heard, it woke up again.
Right.
It's because I want to use it, and it tells you what the battery is. So I'm going to point to the OrCam brochure right now, and it makes that little beeping noise.
And you heard it.
Within a few seconds.
Individual attention. Complimentary one-on-one training session. Each OrCam device is hand-delivered by a certified OrCam trainer who will teach you how to use your new device. It arrives at your doorstep complete with all accessories included. We believe in providing an exceptional experience. OrCam enhances quality of life. I can get a quick view of the newspaper without all of the strain. I read my email from my smartphone on the go. With the OrCam device, you really get more out of life. I feel less dependent and more relaxed. Moshef, legally blind from childhood. Sitting at a restaurant with a friend and using the OrCam device meant that we didn't have to focus on my disability because I was able to read the menu on my own. WS. Recent rapid deterioration of vision. The OrCam device's intuitive point and speak functionality makes it easy for anyone to quickly learn how to use. Brian Walensky, OD, FAAO.
So that's it. It read the whole thing in
wow.
a matter of seconds,
right.
which is pretty neat. I like the pointing feature, too, because you can actually skim material, point to, let's say, a column in a newspaper. If you leave your finger there, it will just start to read. And then if you hear that you're really not interested in that area of the page, you just simply move your finger to another column and listen briefly to that. So it allows a person to skim from item to item to item. It also will read things on a bulletin board. It will actually, if the sign is large enough, you can read a sign in a store. I even used it to read a billboard across the street.
Oh, wow.
Because the billboard had text that was recognizable
mm-hmm.
just by pointing at it. So it really activates by using your finger any sign or anything. And again, it's called the OrCam Reader. It sells for $2,500. So it's pretty straightforward, and we'll talk about the more complicated OrCam. Maybe next week would be good.
And is that it's out and available now?
It is. It is. You can come to the Chicago Lighthouse and get a quick evaluation and or You can actually go to OrCam.com and purchase it directly from the company, and then someone from the company can come out to your home, or if you want to come here to be trained, the company will pay is paying us to train the people who need the training.
Right.
And so it's worked out very, very well. We're one of the first in the country to have it.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool.
Now, how about upcoming road show?
And I have the flyer here in front of me. Maybe I should point to it and see if it'll read it.
Repeating from the beginning, next show, Wednesday, March 1st, 6:00, 201-610 a.m., 3 p.m. Main Township, 1700 Ballard Road Community Room, Lower Level Park Ridge, Illinois 60068.
So that said 1-6, so we really meant 16th, March 16th.
Oh, okay.
And then we have also one on March 31st coming up, which is in Wheeling Township, which is on Arlington Heights Road in Arlington Heights. And they're all from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. They're all on our website. Go to chicagolighthouse.org and click on events, and you'll see a full calendar of many, many shows that we have this coming year now that it's... Snow is going to be gone for good. I'm going to promise that now.
Uh-oh. Yeah. You might be in trouble. But at least the road show is back on track, and you can go out and try out many of the products that we talk about here on Tom's Corner. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Loved your tips again.
Thank you.
They were very good.
I love researching it. I actually learn a lot doing my research for this show.
And I still
too.
Say we ought to put the book together.
I would love to.
We will have to talk about that.
Sure. Here.
Thanks to Dr. Janice Slick, our executive director at the Lighthouse, for believing in our program and making it possible for us to be here every week. Also, Sandra Rula, our associate producer and contributor to the broadcast. Brian Hawkins, technical wizard extraordinaire.
He really is.
And, of course, you, Lane Clayman.
Thank you, darling.
For your wonderful week. Tidbits of information on
and
key health.
You, William Jurek.
Well, we're
who, you know, are at the helm of this whole thing.
That's right.
So let's not, you know.
And it's not a rudderless ship because I have so many good people around me that makes the show.
Very nice. Way to go with the nautical analogy. I like it.
That's it. All right, that'll do it for us. Mighty House Guys coming up next. We'll see you next week right here on The Beacon on Chicago's Progressive Talk. See ya.